I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. And I want to specifically talk about the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. All of you have the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. It is not right to teach that some Christians have the Holy Spirit and some don't. That's not scriptural. The Bible says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. You're not in relationship with Him. You're not born again. If you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not the same thing as the fullness or releasing or baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's something else. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with being saved, not being saved, or anything like that. It has to do with an empowerment, an enablement for the work of the ministry and for the purposes of God in the kingdom. Amen? So we're all born again and we all have the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit is in us, but there is a releasing of the Holy Spirit that we need to learn to walk in that empowers and enables us to do the things that God has called us to do. All of us can admit we're not strong enough to do all the things God wants us to do on our own, right? None of us are. So that's why He sent a helper. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to walk alongside. The Greek word parakletos literally means one who walks alongside and teaches. And it's like a life coach. And one of the best translations we have for the word paraclete is life coach. A coach is someone who walks with you, teaches you, trains you, encourages you, kind of rides you a little bit, stays on you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He lives, he walks alongside you. He lives in you. He abides in you to bring you into the places that God wants you to be. And He lives in you. So if you're born again, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And I want you to know that because that's important. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And He says, I will pray to the Father and He will give you another helper. Jesus was basically telling the disciples that He was about to leave. He was going away. And that was a little unsettling that Jesus was leaving, right? But He says, don't worry about it because I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. He says that He may abide with you forever. I'm going to send you a helper and He will abide with you. The Spirit of truth. Now look at this. Whom the world cannot receive. This is special. Say, this is special. This is not for everybody. The world can't receive it. Well, who can get in on this? He says, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. And look at this line. He will be in you. Wow. That is so good. He will be in you. He is in you. We talk about Jesus living in us. We talk about Jesus coming into my heart. Jesus abiding. You know how Jesus does that? Through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that is in you. And because the Holy Spirit is in you, Jesus is in you. But it's the Holy Spirit that is abiding within you. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for the Word of God today. We're going to have fun today. Lord, we're going to take a journey through the Word of God, and we're going to learn what it means to have the Holy Spirit in us. And Lord, I'm going to ask You to help us, Lord, bring the Word of God alive. Lord, let something explode in me today and in my life. God, bring me to a new place in You. Lord, release something within us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon you. The Bible talks a lot about the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. The Spirit of the Lord, for example, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson and he would do extraordinary things. But it was because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, or the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. God would empower them through the Holy Spirit coming upon them. But that's not the same thing as what we're talking about now. The Holy Spirit didn't live in them. The Holy Spirit didn't abide in them. The Holy Spirit was not inside of them because they were not tabernacles that the Holy Spirit could live in or that God could live in. God lived in the tabernacle, but they were not yet tabernacles. But the Bible says we have been made the temples of the Lord. Amen? We are His holy tabernacle. Do you know we are the church? Amen? You know, we like to say this is God's house, right? We call churches God's house. That's God's house, but that's not really correct. This is a building that we meet in, that the church meets in, but we're God's house, right? Y'all do know God's not floating around here during the week waiting for y'all to come back every Sunday, right? It don't work that way. Do you know when you walk out that door, He goes with you? Amen? Amen. He lives in you. This is brick and mortar, you know, this God lives in you. You're the tabernacle that He abides in. So in the Old Testament, He came and He rested upon people, but now He's living inside of us. This is something new. Jesus is talking about something new. I want you to get excited about that. I want you to see when He told His disciples, He was blowing their mind. He was telling them, God is fixing to move inside of you. The Lord is God through the Holy Spirit is about to come into you. Do you know when the tabernacle was built and they did the offerings and the smoke wound its way up into heaven and God was pleased with the sacrifice? The Bible says that the glory and the Shekinah of God, His very presence, was resting upon Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that when that sacrifice was made, that the glory of the Lord moved off of the mountain, and it moved over here to where the tabernacle was, and it got up over the tabernacle, and it went, and it went down into the tabernacle and rested over the mercy seat between the cherubims in the Holy of Holies. Amen? Now, if you could get in a time machine and go back in time and be standing there with Moses when that happened, and you'd watch that, and then you could kind of punch Moses and say, "Boy, that was pretty cool." He'd say, "You think? That's pretty neat. Glory of God coming off the mountain into the tabernacle." And then you could say, "Yeah, but Moses, there's a new covenant coming when God's going to write His law upon the fleshly tablets of our heart. There's a new covenant coming, Moses, when that glory cloud that came into that tabernacle is going to come into me." I don't know if y'all get that. I just said that glory cloud is going to come into you. Amen. God is going to live in you. Let's talk about some things. Let's talk about the prayer for an open heaven. How many of you want to see an open heaven? Well, this is where it starts. Open heavens don't start out there. We're guilty of waiting for God to do something out here and come down and pour on me and rain on me. And a lot of the songs that we sing are geared that way, and they give us a thinking of God's going to come down, God's going to pour out, and He does, but you need to understand how that happens. Isaiah 64, there's a prayer to rend the heavens. He said, "Oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Tear open the heavens and come down." Well, church, I got good news for you. That prayer has been answered. Come on. We've had some people walking around. We've been, over the last few weeks, we've been seeing God moving. People saying, "It's here. It's here." But it's always been here. What God wants us to understand is His glory has always been among us. He's just waiting for us to realize it and for us to release what he desires to do. You know, we're waiting for God just to reach down and jerk us up like a puppet, you know, and do something with us. It doesn't work that way. Amen? So the prayer for God to rend the heavens, tear open the heavens and come down has already been given. And you know what that is? You know what it is. It's a desire for the presence of God. And y'all know what that is because you desire that. Who among us don't want to experience the presence of God? The presence. I don't know about you. I don't care a thing about coming to church and not experiencing the presence of God. And the Bible says we can. And that's that desire. The Bible says Israel camped around the presence. Amen? They camped around the presence of God. They wanted to be near the presence of God. Because the presence of God is meant for all of us. The Holy Spirit abiding with us was never meant for just the elite. The Holy Spirit abiding and living in us is not just meant for the pastor or the associate pastor or the evangelist or the revivalist or the prophet or whoever. It's for all of us. We can all experience this. So look at this. In Mark, when Jesus was baptized, this is what it says. It says, he saw the heavens opened, or the heavens parted. Now I want you to look at this. That word for parted, the heavens opened, the heavens parted. He saw the heavens open and he saw a dove coming down. And he heard a voice that said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But he saw the heavens part. He saw the heavens open. That word for part, or that word for open, is a violent tearing. It's the same word that is used when the curtain was torn apart when Jesus died. Amen? So the heavens were torn and the Spirit came upon Jesus. The prayer of Isaiah was answered when Jesus was baptized. I want to show y'all something here. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens were torn open and the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon him. In fact, the Bible says, without measure. Amen? Elijah walked with a powerful anointing. He did mighty miracles. The Spirit of God rested upon him. And his young man that was mentored by him, Elisha's prayer was, God, give me a double portion of what Elijah's got. Give me two times the anointing on his life. Give me two times the Spirit of God that is upon him. Let me experience double. That's a measure. I want two times what he's got. And do you know that by the Bible, the miracles record that Elisha did exactly double the miracles that Elijah did? I don't think that's a coincidence. He walked in a double anointing. He walked in a double measure of what Elijah had. In fact, there was such an anointing resting upon Elisha when he died and they buried him. The Bible says they were having, there was another funeral much later. And the Philistines, they heard the enemy coming and they had a body to bury. They had a funeral to do. And so because they heard the enemy bearing down on them, because so for fear of their lives, they just had a quick service. Lord, we just real pray, amen. And they looked for and they saw an open cave and they just threw the body in the cave and ran off. It's the quickest funeral in history. But the cave that they selected to throw the body in had the bones of Elisha in it. And that body rolled over on those bones and the guy came back to life. And you know, he had to say, what am I doing here? But there was an anointing. There was an anointing in those bones. One had a measure. The other had a double measure. But when Jesus saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Bible says it was without measure. It wasn't a double portion or a third or fourth. It was without measure. And that's the anointing that is now coming upon his church. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. But it gets even better because when John talks about where Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, John says something else Mark doesn't say. John says, and the Spirit remained. Oh, wow. This is new. See, Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit left. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he remained. You got that? He abided with him. He lived with him. You remember the woman that touched Jesus' garment? Let me show you something. The woman that pressed through the crowd, she wasn't even supposed to be there. She wasn't even supposed to be in that crowd because she was unclean. She had an issue of blood. She had a health condition. She wasn't supposed to be out in public according to the culture and the laws of that time. But she did anyway, and she went and she told herself, if I can just touch his garment, I will be made whole. And she reached out and touched his garment. Now, I want you to see this. This is important. Jesus is walking along. In fact, he's on his way to the house of Jairus because Jairus has said, could you come heal my daughter? So Jesus is walking along. How you doing? It's good to see you. I just bless you right now. He's talking. Oh, I haven't seen, and he's having conversation. He's just walking along the street. Boom, he stops. What was that? I felt something. He said, somebody touched me. And they were like, what do you mean somebody touched you? There's people all around you. No, I mean somebody touched me. Now here's what he was saying. Somebody, he said, I felt healing, virtue, anointing. He is walking with the Holy Spirit in him without measure. And he just felt some of it release. Oh, glory. He just felt some of it go out of him. Not all of it, because he's without measure. He's got plenty for that woman, and he's got plenty for the next woman, and he's got plenty for this guy, and he's got plenty for you. But he said, I felt some of it leave. And so he turned around basically and said, somebody just made a withdrawal. Amen. Somebody just made a withdrawal. Whoo, glory. Somebody touched me and I felt it release and it went out of me. Because it was in him and then it was released. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, I can do nothing without my Father. Now, how was the Father working through Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit. The connection was the Holy Spirit. Church, the Bible says that we don't always know how to pray because we don't always understand the things of God. But the Spirit in me knows how to pray and communicate with God because He is God. And I want you to understand there is not a power in hell that can stop the connection between the Holy Spirit in you and God in heaven. You've got a direct line. Amen. You've got a direct line between you and the Father, and that is the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus was saying is, he lived his life without restriction, lived his life with restrictions so that he could show us how we could live. Jesus purposely came to this world as a man, and he laid everything aside, and he showed us how a man can live who is full of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. He lived his life purposely with strict. And here's the thing. This is good. If he came as God, and that's what he did in the Old Testament. That's what he did in the Old Testament. He showed up as the one walking in the furnace who looked like the Son of Man, right? He showed up as the captain of the Lord's host. He showed up all through the Bible. We see him all the time. And he showed up as God. He showed up mighty and awesome. And we look at that and we go, well, that's cool, but that's God. But there's something different in the New Testament. Because if he just shows up as God, we look at it and we wonder and it's amazing. But when he shows up as a man and does these extraordinary things, we see God working through a man. And God is showing me what can happen in our lives. You say, Glenn, that's not possible. Jesus said it was. He said, greater works than these shall you do. How does this happen? The Bible says Jesus would often pull away, find a place of prayer, find a place of communion with God. Before David ever became a king, before David ever had notoriety, before David was ever famous, David had victories. By himself, as a little shepherd boy, he killed a lion. How does that happen? How does a young shepherd boy grab a hold of a lion and kill it? Or the Bible says he killed a bear. David had personal, awesome victories with God before he was ever a king, before he was ever released in public. You see, this is something we've got to start cultivating. Folks, the secret of a corporate anointing is a powerful thing. But the secret to a corporate anointing is birthed in secret, is birthed before we ever get in here. And when you come ready, there's an explosion that is released. We're starting to experience it because people are starting to come anticipating, ready. And then God pours out. So it's a tangible anointing. Jesus felt that withdrawal. It was a tangible something that he felt. He felt that withdrawal. Now, what happened? Word started going around that this woman touched him and she was healed. So now what do people want to do? And it's in the book of Mark. They all of a sudden wanted to touch him. Did you hear about the woman that touched him and got healed? Well, let's go touch him. Everybody, and so this thing started. Jesus never taught that. Stay with me. Jesus never taught that. He never stood up and said, I've got a set of CDs out on the table you can pick up. It's about touching for the releasing of the anointing. He never taught that. But they learned it through experience. And so now people wanted to touch him. It wasn't taught, but it came through an experience. Same thing happened with Paul. Did y'all know Paul was either one of two things. He was a tent maker or a tallit maker. It's the Greek word there for what Paul worked on is a little iffy. But he did one of the two. He either made prayer shawls, tallits, or tents. So it's kind of, but he made something. But do you know what the Bible says? They would take the cloths and the aprons, his work aprons, those were his work aprons. He sweated and worked with those work aprons and those cloths, and people would pick them up and go and take them to other people, and they would be healed. Church, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you an anointing that is carried. I'm trying to show you an abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was just walking down the road and the woman touched him and it was released. He didn't stop and release it. He didn't do, she put a demand on it and it came out because he just had it. Paul was just working and people picked up his cloths and his aprons and took them to other people because there was an anointing, just as a dead body rolled over on some bones. Look, the Bible says people would try, they would say, do you know Peter walks by here every day? And they would try to get close to the side of the road. Why? Because the Bible says Peter's shadow. People sitting on the side of the road when his shadow passed them. That people would be healed. Not because Peter had a teaching on shadow ministry or shadow anointing or shadow healing. Get my CD on shadow healing. It don't work like that. He carried it. When the man was healed at the gate, beautiful, he said, such as I have, give I thee. I carry it every day, everywhere I go. It's just in me. And we can release it. And even without consciously releasing it, people withdrew and took it from his shadow. There's a story of Smith Wigglesworth sitting on a train. And he's riding in the train, and people on the train begin to weep. He's not preaching. He's just sitting on the train. And people started weeping. And people got down on their knees. And people that were in the same train car with Smith Wigglesworth started repenting and coming to Jesus. And the man just sat on the train. There's a story of Charles Finney taking a tour of a textile factory. And the women were in there running these sewing machines and working. And he was walking on the factory floor, and all of a sudden all the machines began to shut down one by one by one. The factory was loud, but machines began to shut down until the factory floor was quiet, and women were weeping and repenting all over that factory. Why? Because a man of God carried an anointing, because the Holy Spirit was in him. Oh, church, if that don't make you hungry for something, I don't know what will. Jesus said, words, the Bible teaches, words can change atmospheres. Words that change an atmosphere. And when it's the word of God, when it's released, I'll tell you this on myself. There's been times when I've been preaching messages, and I would just be preaching, and all of a sudden, you've probably done this, Daryl, all of a sudden something would come out of me, and it would be like an explosion of words. It would be like an anointed, you may know what I'm talking about, Brandon. You know, it would be like an anointed explosion of words. It would just come pouring out of me, and I could hear myself preaching, and I would think, gosh, that was good. And then I would think, that wasn't me. Because I don't even think that way. I don't even know where that came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It was a release of the Holy Spirit that was inside releasing that word. The word in you is the most powerful force on earth. We have this thing like, I've got to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. Intellectual gratification means that you need to be in control. God don't want you in control. He wants to be in control. The Holy Spirit that is in you wants to take over. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And if you learn to release what I have put in you, it's life. His peace is a person. He is our peace. Now I'm going to close. And I'm going to close with some scripture. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. Now I want you to look at this passage. Jesus is telling his disciples, as you go, this is simple. As you go, preach. I want you to go and I want you to preach. I want you to go and I want you to release the word of God. I want you to release God's word. That's in you. My words are spirit and life. Just preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. Just preach the word of God. And then he said, here's what you preach. What do we preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. That's your message. The kingdom of God is here. God's kingdom is all around us. Not God's kingdom is coming. Not God. It's here. Amen. So he said, and that's your message. Then he said, and when you get through preaching, I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go preach. I want you to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Wow. Oh, glory. And that's what I want you to do. That's our mandate. He says, freely you've received, freely give. That's what you do. Now let me show you the releasing of this. Because in that same chapter, if you read a little further, he teaches something. He says, you go to a house, when you're out preaching, when you're out ministering, you go to a house, he says, if the house is worthy. Now, what am I teaching? I'm teaching that peace is the Holy Spirit. Peace is a person. It is the thing you are releasing. Peace in this context is healing. If you're sick, you need peace. You need healing peace. You need peace. So he says, if you go to somebody's house and it's worthy, they are receiving, then let your peace come upon it. Release the healing. But if not, hold it. If they don't want it, if they won't receive it, that's fine. You hold it. Noah released the dove, and the dove came back. Noah later released the dove, and the dove didn't come back. We are ministering a person. When the woman touched Jesus' garment, a person was released. Not a thing, a person. The Holy Spirit was abiding, and the Holy Spirit was released. So he uses the word peace to talk about that release. Remember what he's talking about. Healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. Now let's go to John, a couple more verses and I'm done. Go to John chapter 20, verse 19. This is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. This is after the covenant had been completely established. Jesus was teaching things before that only he knew. Nobody was walking in the anointing like him. Nobody else had it. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit without measure, but nobody else was. It couldn't happen until after the cross. It couldn't happen until after the resurrection. It couldn't happen until the whole covenant, the new covenant, was released. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus comes and look at this verse. John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle of them. And he said to them, peace be with you. Jesus, now remember, the disciples are hiding for their lives. Right? They're fearful somebody's going to come and take them away and arrest them and crucify them the way they did Jesus, because they were followers of Jesus. That would be the norm, to crush this whole rebellion, to crush this whole thing, get rid of him, the leader, and all the followers. So they're fearing for their lives. And while they're sitting there huddled up fearing for their lives, a man walks through the wall and says, peace. Now, I'm not sure how much peace that would bring me if I'm sitting in a room huddled up for fear of my life and a guy walks through the wall and says, peace. Right? But let's look at the next verse. It says, when he said this, he could tell they didn't get it, right? When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Now look at this line. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He came in and said, what was he doing? What did he tell them to do? He said, when you go into a home, release the peace, release the Holy Spirit. So what did he do? He came into that room where they were and just said, peace. Started releasing, but they were so confused. And when he showed them his hands and his feet, it's Jesus. And then they were glad. Now look at the next line. And then Jesus said to them again, peace. The Father has sent me, now I send you. He began to release. Basically, you know what he was saying? He could see they were troubled, and he said, Guys, look here. You see these hands? Do you know who I am? Oh, it's Jesus. Okay, we're cool. Everybody okay now? And then Jesus was like, let's start over. Peace. I'm going to release what I have. And as I have been sent, I am about to send you. And let's look at this last line. And when he said this, remember, this is new. He told his disciples in the upper room, the Holy Spirit is about to come into you. You've never had this before. He had it. And he said, when he said this, he breathed on them and they received. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That could not happen before. And to every one of you that's been born again, you've already taken that first step. You're like, Glenn, I want to be able to release the Spirit of God. Well, guess what? You've already got Him. Every one of you. The Holy Spirit's already in you. He's living in you. You mean what you're talking about, I've already got in me? Yes. You're carrying it around every day. You are already a carrier. You've got it. Say, I've got it. You're a carrier. How about let's start releasing? Start releasing the love of God, the power of God. Folks, start preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tell people God is here. God is here. And heal the sick. Cast out devils. Begin to do the work of the ministry. Let's stand together.